Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Paranorman?
It wasn't bad. There were certainly parts of it that made me just guffaw out loud.
Yeah.
There were other parts where I looked at it and went, I can't believe this is a children's movie. What the heck?
Yes, there are some of those as well. This is one of those where it had been a long time since I'd last watched it. And so rewatching it, I was like, oh, maybe the kids aren't ready for this one yet.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we both have kids that are still in single digits.
Mm-hmm.
And because in my mind's memory, it's like, oh, yeah, this is fine. Oh, it's not fine. For those of you who are thinking that your 7-year-old might be ready for Paranorman, I would urge you no.
Yeah, no. Not even for 8-year-olds.
Well, I don't have one of those yet.
Well, I do, and I can guarantee you, no.
So, Paranorman is about kind of an outcast kid, and he's outcast because he can see and talk to ghosts. And it's done kind of oddly, I think. You know, it opens up and he's watching a zombie movie with his grandmother. By the way, I love the zombie movie where at the beginning, you know, the zombie's chasing after the leading lady, and she's just standing there screaming and watching it come closer.
Yeah.
And it's just moving really slow. And then she like runs out of breath. The zombie stops. She looks at the camera, sighs, takes a deep breath and screams again. And as soon as she does, the zombie takes another step forward.
Oh yeah. This is exactly it's exactly the kind of B movie that we would watch on our own.
Absolutely. And then like the boom mic drops into her frame and she like pushes it away. So he's watching this with his grandmother. His grandmother's like, what's happening now? You know, played by Elaine Stritch, which is just wonderful. She's got one of those voices that's like, you know, you've heard it in just about everything.
Yeah.
Big in Broadway. Look her up. Stritch. Anyway, takes out the trash. And as he's getting ready to take out the trash, grandma says, tell your dad to turn up the thermostat because my feet are getting cold. He comes back in and he says, Dad, grandma wants you to turn up the thermostat because her feet are getting cold. And it's like everything just shatters. And we find out that grandma's dead and has been for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And dad is just, he's very upset by all this. And things don't really get better for Norman family-wise from that. Because we get to see what he sees. He sees the ghosts. He interacts with the ghosts. Oddly, he interacts with the ghosts better than he interacts with the real people. The embodied people.
Yes. I love the transition to that. Because mm-hmm. We see Norman walking down the street talking to what appears to be nobody. And then like the camera does like a 180 around him. And when mm-hmm. it comes around the side of his head, you see the ghosts too. It's just, that's well done.
It really works out well. And so we find out, you know, Norman is bullied, makes sense. And he starts having kind of these flashback kind of things, or these, flashback's the wrong term, but he's
premonitions. He sees,
yeah. Rips in the veil of reality. But he finally makes a friend in Neil. I love Neil, by the by.
Neil is fun, yes.
Neil is a kid who is bullied because of his weight and because he talks funny and his irritable bowel syndrome. And like he gives this long list of reasons why he's bullied over the course of things. And but he makes this friend in Neil, and they bond over their mutual weirdness. You know, Neil thinks it's just so cool. You can see ghosts? Do you think you can see my dog? Dog comes out, it's like cut in half. My dog was run over by a veterinarian. You're a what was it? It wasn't a dog catcher, but it was like a pet rescue vehicle.
Oh yeah.
It was tragic and ironic. Second favorite joke in the thing. That was my second favorite joke. My favorite joke, so they go to Blythe Middle School, and on the building, they have the emblem for Blythe Middle School, and it's a giant bee, like that would take up two lines on a notebook pad. Mm-hmm. And then the top line next to it, it says M for middle, and underneath that, it says S for school. So it just, if you read it across, goes BMBS.
Yeah.
Favorite joke, one of those that it just skips by. Walking with Neil. I got to get back on track. So walking with Neil, his uncle, Mr. Prendergast, shows up, voiced by John Goodman. And John Goodman also sees ghosts, and he has the task of preventing the witch's curse. This is one of those New England witches things, movies. And he needs Norman to take on this role. He's the only one who can do it. That night, Mr. Prendergast dies, and his ghost shows up to Norman and says, "You need to do this. I need you to swear." What, like the F word? No, I mean promise. And as soon as Norman promises, Mr. Prendergast is able to cross over, you know, to his eternal reward. But he leaves no instructions other than read the book at the grave. And so we're at halfway into the movie, and we've done a lot of world building and a lot of kind of, we see the social interaction and so forth here. And Norman decides to go ahead and do this. After all, he promised. So he gets the book where he has to beat up the corpse of his uncle in order to get it. It's funnier than I just made it sound.
It is. It's still, even for a claymation stop motion movie, it's still kind of gross, but not in a gory way. You're just like, ugh.
There are a lot of things about this that really press that line of PG-13.
Yeah, but this is PG.
But that's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, okay, like, yes.
It presses right up against that line, and you're like, I don't know if PG's the right rating for this.
Yeah.
And then there'll be something else to be like, oh yeah, this is a joke for kids.
Yeah.
You know, has kind of a Scooby-Doo vibe by that, in that realm when it's super silly.
Oh yes, absolutely.
And then it jumps the other side of the things, and it's like, oh, Scooby-Doo never did that. So he gets to the grave, he starts reading the book, lo and behold, he's at the wrong grave, because he has to read the book at the witch's grave. Well, witches don't get buried in cemeteries, they're not people. And so they have to go to the archives, city hall, find where she might have been buried. But because he read it at the wrong place, the witch's curse activates and the clouds turn into like your stereotypical witch's face kind of thing. Think Edith Hamilton, only a little bit more cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
And seven zombies basically burst from their tombs. This leads to lots of scares, lots of silliness, chases, you know, a couple of heartfelt moments where Norman's just like, I didn't ask for any of your help. Go away. And you know, personal character growth type stuff that is really boring to talk about unless that's the point of the movie.
Yes.
And then he finds his way to the actual witch's grave, and we find out that the witch is an 11-year-old girl who is executed for having the exact same gift that Norman has. And so spoilers for something that came out in 2012, but he ends the curse effectively by talking to her and by listening to her and empathizing and kind of accepting her for who she is rather than expecting her to be something else. And this leads to healing community-wide, especially in his family. And that's all well and good. The story is a good story, but the characters to me make it.
Yes.
So we've talked a little bit about Neil, who is the talkative kid who's, you know, bullied for being fat, among other things. But he's also got this relentless optimism. Like, he's the one who shows up at night at Norman's house with a Jason Voorhees hockey mask on. And Norman's like, you know, he gets the Halloween theme for his ringtone. Norman looks at it, he's like, go to your window. And he goes out and there's this kid with a hockey mask staring up at him. Ah! Do you want to play some hockey?
I loved that. That was great.
Or when Neil, you know, threatens Mr. Prendergast while he's still alive by saying, I will throw this hummus at you, and it's spicy.
And it works.
It works. He's a scary kid. You've got Alvin, who is your stereotypical bully, voiced by Mince Plotz. I don't remember his first name. Corey Casey, some C name, Mince Plotz, does a really good job with that. You know, the dumb Alvin guy, the guy who's in the bathroom who's misspelled his own name that he's graffitiing on the wall.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You think they want to eat my brains? I think you'll be safe. Oh, thank goodness. Wait. But like... That was like three beats too soon. I should have waited another three beats before saying wait. And I loved Alvin's kind of arc over that. No one gets in the way of a possible date with somebody who maybe might have been possibly interested in me. You've got Norman, and Norman is the Ted Mosby of the thing. He's interesting enough, but he's not... He's the blandest of the characters, really.
And honestly, I think that comes from him being kind of bullied even by his own family for being different. He was never able to really develop his own personality because whenever he tried, you know, with the speaking of the ghosts and everything, it was squashed. So in my mind... That's where I see him being kind of bland. It's because he was always kind of pushed down.
Anytime that his personality started coming up, he had to basically repress it.
Yes.
I've not considered that. I really like that interpretation. I'm going to have to watch it again to kind of see that come in place. You've got the sister, Courtney, voiced by Anna Kendrick.
Amazing.
And... your stereotypical teen girl, you know, irritated and annoyed by her brother, and you kind of get the sense that she'd be annoyed by him no matter what.
Yes.
But she is in lust with Neil's brother, Mitch, who is about as smart as Alvin, the bully. Third favorite joke, do you use free weights because your deltoids are amazing? I've never used deltoids in my life. You can test me. It's like, yay, Casey Affleck. No, he was Alvin. I don't remember who played Mitch. Oh, well. Look it up. It's on IMDb.
No, I think, I'm sure. I think you were right. The other way around.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Alvin was Plotz. Mitch was Casey Affleck.
Yes.
So, so... we have Mitch and Neil and Courtney and Alvin. And okay, so that's all those main characters there. We got Mom and Dad. Dad is your overly stern, angry kind of character. And the mom is your overly hippy-dippy kind of character. The movie seems to... I don't know if it's so much rely on the stereotypes as it is using them to make the point.
Yeah, you know, I can see that.
You know, kind of. It's really easy to poke holes in caricatures. You know, you're just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because everyone only looks at Norman as the kid who can do one thing, you know, it's suddenly everybody's just one thing.
Yes.
You know, bratty sister is bratty, you know, bully is bully, you know.
Crazy uncle is crazy.
Crazy uncle is crazy. Mommy is hippy dippy. Daddy is stern, you know. So, because then the message of the movie is really to accept people for who they are. You know, that's kind of where things end up there. But I don't know if this is really a good movie anymore. So, and here's why. Because this movie is one of those that I got to see in the theater, and it was just me and my spouse in the theater. Like, we thought that they were going to come in and tell us that they hadn't sold enough tickets, so they weren't going to show it. It was her and I in the middle of the theater watching this all alone.
Nice.
And if you've never watched a movie that way in the theater, God, I hope that someday you can.
Yes.
And so, like the TV show MacGyver, or the first two seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Paranorman, I don't know if it's so much that it's good or that I have really good memories of watching it. And that's what makes it good now. So I rely on you, my friend.
I enjoyed it. I'm not sugarcoating because you're my friend.
I appreciate that.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, there were times when I was watching this going, I can't believe that's in a PG movie. And other mm-hmm. times stuff happened and I just cackled my head off because it was genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. Some of the background jokes, like you said with the Blythe Middle School, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The sign welcoming you into the town has a witch hanging by a tree. And it's, you know... Blythe, a great place to hang. And I'm just like, oh my God.
No kid is going to get that joke. That one's just for me.
Yeah. And, but also watching the way that Norman was treated and how he was very much alone in this, mm-hmm. even all the way up to the end, there was still that sense of, okay, they're zombies. People realize this is going on. There was a big heroic speech by the sister to kind of calm the town down because they were ready to just burn them at the stake.
Don't be shooting at civilians. That's our job.
Yeah.
Says the police chief.
Yes.
Joke does not age well.
No. Says the black female police chief.
Yeah.
Still doesn't age well. But even all, I mean, he had to do all of this by himself. And even at the very end, the very final scene of the movie, you could tell that there was, things were on the right path, but it wasn't mm-hmm. like a switch had been flipped and everything was fine. Mm-hmm. So I felt very bad for Norman. As soon as he told his dad about Grandma and the thermostat, and Dad got angry, to the end of the movie, it was like, damn it, I feel so bad for this kid.
Yeah. They did a really good job of playing on some of that. For those of us who have empathy,
mm-hmm.
it really plays on us.
Yes. But overall, it was a good movie. I don't regret seeing it. I would absolutely watch it again. Closer to Halloween, maybe. Certainly not.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly not with kids yet.
Not yet. I kind of sit... it's this one and Monster House, to me, are kind of... They're the ones that I don't watch often, but I do like pulling them out and watching them every now and again.
Yes, and I would agree with that. And I absolutely adore the stop-motion animation style.
Oh, doesn't Laika just nail that?
Yes, they do.
Jeez.
I was going to say
nail it out of the park, and that's mixing my metaphors, but we're going to stick with it.
Yeah, it works. And this is their second outing. Coraline was their first, and that was very well done. And this is a great follow-up to that in terms of art style. And it's not the same art style. They took, you know, they made different-looking characters, just like Kobu and the Two Strings isn't indicative of how Paranorman looks, but it's got that feel to it. You know it's a Laika film.
And so, and that's something that we can bring up here in the last couple minutes is, so this was their, like you said, I think their second outing.
Yes.
And it was the first one that was done in 3D, which you can tell at different times in the movie.
They've got, you know, that,
the,
yeah.
The cameras do the thing.
Yeah.
But also, they 3D color printed the figures and the faces and so forth, which is one of the reasons why those faces look so expressive, is because they're able to go into the computer and basically computer animate what they want the face to do and then 3D print those and then swap them out.
Nice. I did not know that.
Really kind of an amazing use of the technology. This idea that, oh yeah, we could totally do a stop motion Shrek. We just need to print the movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, using some of those classical animation styles then on top of, especially at the end with the witch, with all the lightning, the yellow lightning bolts and so forth. There are bits of that. There's a couple of special features that I would recommend too, that just kind of, they talk about how they do that and what's going on. Worth seeing just because Laika's really the only ones doing stop motion in this way.
Yes.
And it's got to be a hella expensive process.
Yeah.
Just imagine having to move the little doll 24 to 30 times for 1 second of film.
Yeah.
So that's Paranorman. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
I'm glad that, you know, we're still friends at the end of this.
Yes.
And I think that just about anyone over the 11 or over
could probably handle most of this. That's a good age range. 11 or older.
11 or older. I mean, your mileage may vary. Consider the relative maturity level of your own spawn. But I think that's what we got to say about this. So, your turn.
Yep.
What do you got?
I got something fun.
All right. I look forward to it.